How many people have your Bibles this morning? If you have your Bible, stand and raise it above your head. Bear witness of God's Word. This will be the authority that we refer to today. Wave it around a bit. That keeps the devil from wanting to hover close, right? You may be seated. Open your Bibles, if you would, please, to the book of Hebrews, chapter 3. Hebrews, chapter 3. You'll find it near the back of your Bible, after the book of Philemon, before the book of James. Hebrews, chapter 3. Also, you can mark another place in your Bible, and that will be Luke chapter 2. Hebrews 3, Luke chapter 2. When you find your place, say, I have it. Hebrews chapter 3. Understand that the letter to the Hebrews was written by the writer of the Hebrews to the children of Israel, the people of the descendants of Jacob, descendants of Abraham, the Hebrews, the Israelites. He was writing them this, but we know that it's applicable for us because of the way that he addresses this. Listen, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful to all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, insomuch as he who had builded the house hath more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all of his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ, say those words with me again. But Christ, as the Son over His own house, whose house are we? If we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. This morning, when we read this passage of Scripture, I want you to understand for all those naysayers who say, I don't need to read anything out of the book of Hebrews because I'm not a Jew, not of Hebraic descent. Let's see if this covers you. Verse 1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. Are you a partaker of the heavenly calling? Who he's speaking to are those who profess Jesus Christ as their Savior. He says, holy brethren, we are not holy. God is holy. In order for you to be considered holy, you would have had to partake of God's holiness, which means let's begin at the beginning. God is holy. Are you holy? So all of you are holy? I'm going to take that non-answer as an answer. Are you holy?
Yes.
Were you always holy?
No.
No, the Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. So God is holy. We weren't holy. In order to get holy and be holy brethren, we would have had to accept God's gift of Jesus Christ. Now, you might be here today and you've never accepted God's gift of Jesus Christ. Here's why he gave Jesus. Jesus Christ is the only way that we can get to God. God has nothing to do with sin, whereas we are sinners. In order for us to be able to have fellowship with God, which is what God wants, we have to accept His Son, Jesus Christ. Not just say, hey, I believe in Jesus, but accept what Jesus did. What did Jesus do for you? He died on the cross. Then what? He was buried. Then what? He rose again. He did that being a sacrifice so that we could come into a covenant with God. But you can't just say, I believe in Jesus. You have to accept Jesus as your Savior and say, I'm a sinner. God, I realize it. Please forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Save me. And what he does is he saves you from hell. He saves you from eternal damnation. He saves you from being separated from God because sin separates you from God. The blood of Jesus covers our sins. If you're on the same page and you believe that this morning, let me know.
Amen.
All right. Now, so the people that he's talking to are holy brethren. The writer of Hebrews was speaking to those who had accepted Jesus as their Savior. He was speaking to Christians. He says, and listen to this, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, listen, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. You know what he's saying when he says, consider Jesus? Think about Jesus for a minute. Let's just think about Jesus, okay? He labeled him the high priest. Now, Understand, the Bible does say that Jesus is our great high priest, but in order to understand that, you need to know what a high priest does. So I named just several things. Number one, the high priest is your mediator between you and God. The Bible says there's one mediator between God and man, that is the man Christ Jesus. Then the high priest also is the one who makes atonement for your sins, right? In the Old Testament, the high priest had to make atonement for sins. The Bible tells us that we were not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold received from tradition by our fathers, but we were redeemed with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, right? Now, he redeemed us, so he's the high priest. Next thing, the high priest was the one who gave the instructions from God. Do you know that Jesus is the one that gives the instructions from God? The next thing is, the high priest is the one that leads you every day to be closer to God. That is what Jesus took the place of. The high priest is also the one that has the highest authority in the camp. Guess who has the highest authority in this camp? Jesus, right? So, I want you to see something in this scripture. Now that it's Father's Day, he describes Jesus in verse 2 by summarizing his life in one sentence. Listen. You say, how can you summarize Jesus' life in one sentence? Listen to what he does. You ready? Verse 2. He describes him this way. Who was faithful to him that appointed him? Everything that you can say about Jesus is wrapped up in this one sentence. Who is Jesus? Jesus was the one that was faithful to that person that appointed him. Who appointed Jesus? Somebody tell me. God who? God the Father. So the Son was faithful to the Father, right? That's what you're telling me. So all of Jesus' life, if you want to say, how was Jesus? Jesus was faithful to the one that appointed him. You say, why are we saying this? Because when we read this passage of Scripture, I want you to see something that's wonderful about this. You might not have ever seen this in here, but do you know that of all the Father's Day messages, you would say, who are some great fathers in the Bible? Somebody give me some great fathers. We've looked at Jesus' father, Joseph, right? We've looked at who else? Abraham. Who else? Isaac. Who else? Noah. We've looked at great fathers, but do you know who the greatest father that we've got to look at example is? And you might say, God the Father. Who's the greatest man that walked on this earth as a father? Jesus Christ. You say, uh-oh, are we going to get into some of that other stuff that believes that Jesus had children running around here? I want to show you something. No, the Bible does not say Jesus was married. The Bible does not say that Jesus had any earthly children, but it does say right here that in the same way that Moses was a father to all the children and the children of Israel as he led them out of there, the same way Jesus was even more a father. If you looked at Jesus' life, you would see, listen to this, he was faithful to him that appointed him. Who appointed him? His Father. So if you watch Jesus' life would be replicating the Father's life. Jesus was a picture of Father God. If you want to be taught of the Father, guess who was the best teacher ever? The Son. Why? Because the Son was taught by the Father. Listen to this. So Jesus is going to teach us the Father's role. Pretty neat. You see, Jesus, the greatest accolade you can say, Jesus was faithful to God. God is the Father of Jesus. So to say that Jesus was faithful to his Father is to say that Jesus represented God the way that God wanted to be represented. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I'm a father. And I can tell you the greatest joy in my life is to see my child represent things that I taught my child. Fathers, amen? Amen. Nothing greater. Don't give me a gift. Let me see something that says, I listened and this is the way I'm doing it. Right, fathers? Now, I want you to turn to Luke chapter 2. Turn to Luke chapter 2. In Luke chapter 2, we hear a story that you might have heard before. Jesus was a boy. He was 12 years old. His parents had taken him up to the feast which they were supposed to do at that time of the year. And they were on the way back, and Jesus decided to stay back at the temple, and he was teaching the scribes, and he was being able to listen to them and teach them. I want you to listen, because this is what our sermon hinges on. Listen to the story. Luke 2, verse 42. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. When they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinfolk and their acquaintances. Somebody tell me what Jesus was to his parents at this time. Lost, right? I've lost my child. They were panicking. They were frantic. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem seeking him. Can you see the frantic? And it came to pass after 3 days, their child was missing 3 days. You think it was a little tense? Do you think Mary had tugged on Joseph and told him, if you would have done this, if you would have checked on that? Do you think Joseph had tugged on Mary and said, well, you were supposed to, after 3 days, we've got to the blame game, right? They were frantic. Listen to what happens. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. Their hearts were broken. They couldn't find their child. Jesus, why have you done this? And then, of course, about the second day, Mary's already admitting he became Joseph's child. Your son, right? But she said, we've been sorrowing, looking for you. But they were amazed. They were amazed that he was sitting and teaching the scribes, teaching the doctors. Now get this, because this is buried down in the scripture, but I want you to see it because I think it's a jewel. Listen. And he said unto them, how is it that you sought me? Wist you not that I must be about my Father's business? Listen, I want to take the opportunity today to preach a sermon to you called My Father's Business. My Father's Business. Jesus said, hey, what's the big deal? What do you mean you were looking for me? Who is Jesus' father? Now, Joseph was his father, but was Jesus building anything? Was he doing carpenter work there? No. What business was Jesus taking care of? His heavenly Father's business. But you know what? You never think about this. You think, 12-year-old boy teaching these doctors. Well, all he was doing was teaching him what his father had shared with him. You say, well, he was only 12. No, Jesus has always been. He's been in the presence of the Father. So he knew the Father's will. He knew what the Father would teach. He was teaching them that. And they're thinking, this 12-year-old boy, Jesus tells us later on, I've been from eternity past. And he gave them this answer. Did you not know I must be about my Father's business? Now listen, this verse tells it all. Verse 50. They understood not the saying which he spoke unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. And his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. They still didn't understand. After he said, I must be about my Father's business, they didn't understand. You see, Jesus' dad, Joseph, was a carpenter. But Jesus wasn't talking about Joseph. He was talking about his other father. So we can see that if we had to describe all the things that Jesus did, we could say Jesus was faithful to the Father's business. What was he doing? He was taking care of what? Somebody tell me. His father's business. So we could say, as far as the Bible shows us, that at the age of 12, Jesus began to take over his father's business. Right? So we're going to talk about a young man now taking over his father's business. Today, I want to talk about this statement, what it means, my father's business. What was God the Father's business? Now, was he a professional baseball player? Did he work in a factory? Was he a policeman, fireman, a teacher? No. God's business was to save mankind from sin. God's business was to create man, then to save man, to redeem man, to have fellowship with man. God wanted man to experience joy, peace, power, eternal life, all those things that would come through God. So Jesus spent his life, listen, carrying out the Father's business. If God made a promise in the Old Testament, Jesus was fulfilling the promise in the New Testament. He was carrying out his Father's business. Does that make sense? He says, did you not know I must be about my Father's business? In other words, hey, you should have known where to find me. There was a conversation going on. God needed to be represented here, so that's the first place you look, right? And I thought maybe you would think maybe this is just something that was opinion of mine. So I've got some scripture for you, and I don't want you to try to turn to everyone because there'll be so many pages you won't be able to hear it. You can write them down, but I want to be able just to quote these things to you so that you can realize that Jesus spent his life telling us this same statement, that God sent me to take care of his business. What are you doing? I'm taking care of my Father's business. What are you doing? Handling my Father's business. I'm here on business from my Father. John 6, 34. And this is the Father's will, which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. What was Jesus saying? He said, I want what my Father wants. I've listened to him, and if I'm taking over his business, then I have to want what he wants, right? Number two, John 10, 25. Jesus says, the works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. Glory to God. This is big. Listen, Jesus was saying, look at what I do, and you can see that it represents the same thing that my Father did, right? Well, let's bring it down close, okay? If a father teaches a son, if a father teaches a daughter a certain way they need to do something, you know, as that child grows up, that father should be able to walk up and see that this thing is done in a certain way, and he will see his work in that child's work. Do you see what I'm saying? That's what Jesus is saying. My work bears witness of the Father's work. We're supposed to train our children, right? Number three, or so number two is, he worked like his Father. Number three, John 14, 25. Jesus again said, the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me. This is a big point. If you heard Jesus talk, guess what? He spoke like his Father. So he had the same wants, the same will as his Father. He worked like his Father, and he spoke like his Father. Have you ever heard somebody say, that sounds like something your dad would say, right? He spoke like his Father. Well, if he's going to take care of his Father's business, he better speak like his Father, right? Number four, John 15, 10. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Guess what? He carried out his Father's commandments. In other words, they became his commandments. He believed and stood for the same things his Father stood for. You know, if you're going to take over your Father's business, you better have the same mindset and stand for the same things, right? Jesus did. So basically, everything that Jesus did was the same way his Father would have done it. How do you sum this up? He was carrying on his Father's business. You say, it sure is a weird way to look at it. I think it's the way that he's intended it. It's so clear once you see it. I want to show you some things that really show you that, hey, all of us are called to be doing our Father's business. We're supposed to take over our Father's business. You see, Jesus clearly stated he was sent to carry out his Father's business. And when we saw Jesus in Hebrews chapter 3, he came in that Father role, didn't he? Didn't the Bible tell us there that he received more glory than Moses because he did it? Moses did what was in expectation of Jesus to come. Moses served God knowing that Jesus was coming. Jesus was the fulfillment of those promises, in whose house we are, remember? Jesus is the builder of the house. John 5:43, Jesus says, I am come in my Father's name. Listen to that simple statement. You know what he's saying? I represent my Father here. If you're going to take over his business, you better be able to say that. Luke 4:18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, the recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised. He had specific jobs, didn't he? Listen. Jesus was doing the will of the Father. In Luke 19:10, Jesus tells us that he's come to seek and to save that which is lost. This was the business of his Father. That's what God wanted, right? John 10:10, Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. That again is what God wanted. That was God's business. In John 12:46, Jesus says, I am come a light into the world that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. Now, isn't that what God wanted? That's a specific job. You say, how do you know God sent him to be light? You see, he's taken over the business. He's the picture of God walking around here on the earth. Well, do you remember when Jesus was born, they brought into a temple and a man called Simeon came out and said, hey, listen, God had spoken to me and said this. This is Luke 2:32, that he would send a light to light the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. Jesus was saying here in John 12, I am come as a light. In other words, I'm here to do my Father's business. That's big, isn't it? And we even see that Jesus knew that in carrying out his Father's business, that he would be representing his Father, and that some people would like it, other people wouldn't like it. But no matter, he still had to carry out his Father's business. There's a place in Scripture where you see this pointed out in Luke chapter 10, verse 16. Listen to this. Jesus speaking to his disciples. He that heareth you, heareth me. He that despiseth you, despiseth me. And he that despiseth me, despiseth him that sent me. So when you go out there trying to do your Father's business, understand everybody might not like it. But here's the order. It is God the Father. Then it is God the Son, Jesus, who is a Father to the church, to the saved. The Bible says he is the head of the church, right? So Jesus is our picture of the Father. And Jesus said, if you speak like me, if you work like me, if you keep the commandments, if you have the same drive, if you have the same goals, if you stand for what is right and stand for what is wrong, if you follow my example of the Father, then you'll be in line with the Heavenly Father. And if somebody despises you, that just means they despise me, which means they despise my Father. He'll take care of it. Amen. Right? Amen. You get to be able to say, never with fear, this person is assaulting me or this person is persecuting me. You can point over your shoulder at Jesus Christ the Father, and he'll point over his shoulder at the Father. How big is that, right? Glory to God. In John 10:10, when he says, I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly, that's what God wants for us. Jesus came to do his Father's business. He wants us to have abundant life. We know that everybody's not going to like it if we carry on our Father's business, but that shouldn't stop us regardless of whether they do or not. We're supposed to carry on our Father's business. What Jesus is saying basically is that because he is carrying out his Father's business, because he wanted what his Father wanted, because he worked like his Father, because he spoke like his Father, because he carried out the commandments of his Father, because of that, the way he carried out his Father's business, others would be affected. That's what he's basically saying in this verse. And if we look at Jesus as our representation of Father God, and we carry out Jesus' business, then we're carrying out God the Father's business. the little bracelet we used to wear that said, "What would Jesus do?" Basically, God the Father is the one that instructed Jesus. So if you do what Jesus would want you to do, walk by the words that he spoke, guess what? You're carrying the Father's business out, right? The Heavenly Father. We're supposed to look at Jesus as a picture of the Father's love, a picture of the Father's works, a picture of the Father's grace, a picture of the Father's mercy, the Father's unselfishness, the Father's patience, the Father's commandments of what is good and what is bad. Not that it's 2015 and that didn't used to be wrong, but now it's wrong, and this didn't used to be right, but now it's right. No, nothing's changed. You can't come and have a big parade and say, "We're going to celebrate open sin." And you should pray for any city that lowers itself to be able to do it. We're supposed to try to be like him so that we can carry out our Father's business. You see, as we read in Hebrews 3, 1 through 6, he was trying to make a point. You know what he said? Moses was faithful to Father God, and he led the children of Israel in the Father's role to bring them closer to God. But Moses could only lead them to a certain point. Guess what? They had to believe in the Father's Son, Jesus Christ. You say, those children of Israel didn't know anything about the Father's Son coming. Yes, they did. They knew about the Messiah. The Messiah had been foretold all the way back to Abraham and his descendants, all the way back to Adam, when they knew there would have to be a sacrifice of blood. They knew about Jesus to come, but listen, Jesus Christ, he was the Father's business. In verse 6, it says, "But Christ, as a son over his own house, whose house we are." If you are a Christian, guess what? You belong to the household of Jesus Christ. He's the head of the church. He's your father figure. You see, Jesus is our picture of the Father. He's our way to get to the Father. Jesus revealed to us the Father's business, and he told us, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me." Do you know that if you're a Christian, you can't, or if you're trying to carry out your Father's business, you can't carry out your Father's business unless you've come to the Father. If you're here today, you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, "I believe in God." That doesn't get it. "I believe in Jesus." That doesn't get it. You have to accept God's gift of Jesus Christ. You have to believe that he died for you. You have to believe that he shed his blood for you. You have to recognize, "I'm a sinner." Ask him to come into your heart. If you've done that, now you can start taking care of your Father's business. But before that, you're still doing your business. I don't care if you're the champion for UNICEF. If you're out here the biggest giver in United Way, you're doing all these great causes, you're giving to the poor, you're not doing your Father's business until he becomes your Father. You're still doing your business. Father's business is different. You see, we can't do the Father's business until we accept his representation of the Father, which is Jesus. You see, he is God the Son. He's the head of all the church. So today, Father's Day, after we've had this point made clear, Father's Day. Father's Day, what would I want to ask? Well, listen, I'm a father, so I'm not going to point the finger at you. I'm going to point the finger at me. And I'm going to ask myself, and fathers, you can ask yourself this. Wives, you can ask yourself this of your husbands. And mothers, you can even ask it of yourselves. I think I would ask myself these questions. What would my children say my business was? What would my children say? You know, Jesus said, "I must be about my Father's business." What would your children say your business is? You say, "Well, that's quick, because my business is, I'm in this kind of work and I'm in this kind of trade." And that's normally what we would say. But I want to share with you something today. I think we forget sometimes that every day, every action, every word, every lesson, Every time we're still, every time we deal with a situation, every time we're confronted with a problem, we're teaching business, our business, to our children. And I want to share something with you. This impacted me greatly, so I thought probably a good thing to share. And so I'll try not to take long. But when I was 14 or 15, we grew up farming. And my dad was a tobacco farmer, and of course, a regular farmer. What does that mean? Everybody in here, that means that you farm everything, right? You farm everything that you eat that comes off your table, either comes out of the freezer or comes out of a jar, right? You go to the grocery store to buy soap and toilet paper, right? That means you farm all that stuff. And then if you farm cows, you farm all that. Well, you know, after you do that for a while, sometimes you say, well, if I find something else to do, I don't know that I want to smell this diesel coming out of this stack for 8 hours a day. I don't know that I want to carry on this kind of business and other things. And so at the age of 15, I started helping a guy work and putting, or 14, helping a guy put floors in. And it became something I had a knack for. And so at 17, I opened my own business because I was going to have to pay my way through school. So in order to pay my way through school, going to college, I started my business the summer before I started school. And I started my business, right? My business. I remember going to little bank. We used to have a bank called Security Bank in town. I remember going up there and getting checks printed out. Those checks, Schoeff's Flooring. Good gracious, man. And so I had a business. I did that business as I went through college. I'd saved up my money. I bought my tools and went into business, man. I got out of college and realized that the business had grown, so the business went to another level. And before long, you had a business with a bunch of employees. And all the time, I was running from the calling that God had given me to take care of His business. He had called me years and years ago, but I wanted a different kind of business. See, once I tasted the principle of the more you work, the more you make, and I enjoyed making, and I enjoyed having, and I enjoyed the accomplishment, and I enjoyed all kind of things. And so I got caught up in my business, and then it dawned on me whenever my kids were small, you know, hey, I'm building up this, and I'm doing my role because they've got what they need here, and they've got what they need here, and they've got what they need here. And I've told you before, I would walk by them as I was going out to work with the second shift crews, and I would see them. I would leave them there playing as I was walking out to provide for them. They wanted my time, but I was giving them the other things, right? So I would make sure that I took them to work with me because it dawned on me, you know, all these, I got three boys and a girl, so I would have her up working in the store and I would have the boys with me. And you know what? I would even take the boys and I was having them on the job because I was trying to teach them the business. I thought, man, one day, these boys are going to be able to say, somebody gave me my father gave me his business. So I want to teach them the business, right? Well, nobody wanted my business for different reasons. Some were too young to take it. Others just weren't interested. That wasn't their thing. And that's fine. You don't want anybody to. That bothers you. Because that's what you want. You want somebody to come and say, hey, you've built all this thing up. You know this can be successful. You want to take that. And see, something happened to me not long ago. I went and looked at a little project that one of my sons had done. And he had laid some stone out. And I walked up and I looked at that stone, the way it was laid out. And that's what I used to do. And when I looked at it, first thing that I thought is, that looks like I laid it. And then somebody came up and said, hey, you know what? It looks like you came up and put it down. So it hit me, and I thought, yeah, it does. And I got thinking, back years ago, it was easy for them because here's what I used to do. I used to put them on my back when I was laying tile, right? And I put them on my back, and the little head would be right above my shoulder. And as my arms would go out and put a piece in, their face was right here. So it was almost like their arms. And I was crawling and I was laying. I was picking up and turning and I would talk and say, you got to put this edge here, flat this, do this. But it was almost like their arms going out. You say, well, that was cute. You carried them on their back. Really, I just didn't want them to get all in the mud and track it everywhere. So I was basically putting them on my back to keep them out of the way, right? But listen, they were watching that. So I didn't know it, but then they began to be able to just do it, right? You know what they were learning? They were learning their father's business by watching the way he acted, by seeing the way he moved, by listening to the words, right? And then it dawned on me when I saw the other day, hey, his work looks like that. And it hit me. I was like, listen, I've messed up. I spent all those years trying to teach them their father's business, and that business is not a vocation. I should have been trying to teach them more my father's business. My father's business. They could have that business and fail. If they have his business, they will succeed. They can have that business and lose everything. They could have his business and gain the world. My job as a father is to teach my children my father's business. Your job as a father is to pass along your father's business, your heavenly father. How many people spent hundreds or thousands of hours getting it wrong? We do, don't we? We want to teach them this. We want to teach them that. The one thing you were called to do is the same as Jesus. Be faithful to the one that appointed you. Guess who appointed you to be a father? Father God. And he appointed you to be a father to teach your children your father's business, which isn't flooring. And if you want your child to be successful, then that would be the business that you're teaching. You know, what do you mean? You see, it hit me that my business they had picked up on, but my main goal was supposed to be able to teach them my father's business. So I asked myself this, am I teaching them to be unselfish? Can they look at my life and see I'm unselfish? They're looking over my shoulder. Can they see I'm unselfish? Am I teaching them the Word of God? Do they see me talking about the Word of God and explaining it to them? Am I teaching them that? Number three, am I teaching them that God's business is more important than any other business? When they're riding on my shoulder with their head right here, are they being able to see that, hey, he puts that aside to take care of God's business? Am I teaching them to love other people? Or do they always hear me complaining about a certain group of people and they can't tell I've got any love for them? Am I teaching them to be patient? When they're looking over my shoulder, are they seeing a patient man? Are they seeing one that wants what they want and wants it now because he's dad and he has to have that? Am I teaching them to obey God's commands? In other words, can they look over my shoulder when they're riding on my back and I'm showing them the business? Can I teach them that what God says is right and what he says is wrong is wrong? Can they tell it in my life? Am I teaching them how to pray? Do we pray together? Am I with my children? We're having prayers together. I'm not talking about at the mealtime, okay? Take that out. Do you just grab your child? Let's pray together. One of the sweetest things is knowing, I look forward to it every day, my prayer time with my children. My prayer time. But I didn't always have it. I was too busy teaching another kind of business. Am I teaching my children how to read God's Word? Is it a book that sits on the shelf, or do they see me excited, explaining, we're talking about it? Am I teaching my children how to be faithful in church? They're looking over my shoulder. They know that if you get up and you're not running 102 temperature, you're going to be at church. If your child ever wakes up on Sunday morning and asks you, are we going to church? You need to quickly get on your knees and cry out to God, because they're not seeing what they need to see over your shoulder. It's not an option. Are they going? You say, what do you mean? Things come up. They do. If you're on vacation, I can understand them asking you that. Otherwise, understand your business you're teaching them is that they're going to be inconsistent in church. You say, well, listen, we teach them. Listen, they're going to be out of your house. Then you'll be begging, crying out to God, please get them back in church, God. Please get them back in church. Your father's business. You say, well, I had them in church and they're not here. Listen, be patient. Wait on God. He's faithful. You can't do anything but what He shows you to do. But it ain't over yet. I ask myself, am I faithful in teaching them to serve others? Am I faithful in that? Do they see me doing things selfishly, or would I stop something I'm doing to come help them? Am I putting my schedule? Do they see me inconveniencing myself to go serve people? They're looking over my shoulder, right? Am I teaching them to openly praise God? Or would they look at me funny if they heard me openly praise God? You see, that's what God wants to teach them. He's going to have them in heaven. All your children that are saved are going to be required to stand in the heavenly chorus. You better start teaching them to praise God down here, right? Am I teaching my children to sing praises to God? They're looking over your shoulder. I don't know. Did they see Daddy singing in church? Is he happy enough to sing? Has he got anything to sing about? Well, don't find it odd if they grow up and don't want to sing. They're just going to be about their father's business. Am I teaching them not to compromise God's word and give in to the devil? Well, I think you know the answer. I've asked those things to myself. I want you to ask them to yours. I think you know the answer, because those kids of yours, my kids, they're riding on our back. They're looking over our shoulder. No matter how old they get, they're watching you live your everyday life, and they're seeing if you're about your business or if you're about your father's business. So the only way that they're going to be able to carry out or carry on the Father's business is if you make your business the Father's business. Fathers, what is your job? What is my job? That's our job. Teach our children our Father's business. My job, son, I want to teach you my Father's business. What Father? Somebody tell me. My Heavenly Father, right? You want your child to be successful, father? Teach them your father's business. You say, I'm not sure. I haven't been focusing on it myself. God give you a chance today to come back in, and He'll teach you so that you can teach. So when I think about Jesus as a child saying, I must be about my father's business, I would ask myself this question. Maybe you can. Fathers, listen. Listen today. If my children would say that about me, and they would try to carry on their father's business, would it really be the right business if they were able to say, my father taught me his business? Which business would they be talking about? Which business am I teaching? Which business will last forever? Which business will promise them eternal security? Which business will give them peace and joy? Which business will give them fellowship with God? Which business will let them go out and really change the world? Which business will give them the providence of God? Which business will let them be guarded and protected? Which business will keep them safe? Which business? My Heavenly Father's business. And if I'm spending my life teaching them my business, other than that, they're not going to know my Father's business. This can have generational ramifications. Hey, newsflash, it has. Don't blame that generation. No one ever taught them their Father's business. Last question I would ask is, could my children watch me? Could they watch my everyday life and learn my Father's business? You know, the answer I would have is, help me, Lord, I want to do better. Help me, Lord, I want to do better. Fathers, I'm going to invite you today to digest the Word of God. Understand your role as a father. You are blessed of God. He anointed you and appointed you to have a child to raise to Him. If you're a father that's never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, you can't even teach your child your Father's business, your Heavenly Father's business. So I would invite you to be able to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Anybody that's here today, you can't go about your Father's business until you do. But if you have, Christian, I want you to think, if someone was to look at my life, whose business am I teaching? Whose business am I doing? The answer should be like Jesus. I must be about my Father's business. Would my children know that I'm devoted to carrying out my Father's business? You answer the question the way that it applies to you, and then you ask God for help today. Pray with me. Father God, I love you and I praise you and I thank you for your precious word. I thank you, God, for showing us a picture of what you want us to be able to do in those simple terms. Thank you for the statement made by your Son Jesus about carrying out your business. I pray, God, that you let this resonate, that you let it ring in our ears so that we can be able to keep this when we leave here and know that our business should be your business and our responsibility is teaching your business. God, I pray for Christian men all over this room today. I pray for Christian women all over this room today. I pray for wives praying for their husband, for husbands, Lord, praying for their families, for children and families that, Lord, are separated. I pray, God, that you would minister and listen to the prayers. Everyone's just wanting that peace and joy. I pray, God, as they come and offer, Lord, a word of repentance, a cry for help, Lord, that you would just respond and be able to heal all these situations. I pray for anyone lost today, Lord, that's never accepted your Son Jesus as their Savior. Lord, move in this invitation. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.